P-minus 87. Gravesen Hotel, Buenos Aires, Argentina. When the clock in President Valerie Slater's hotel suite reached the agreed-upon hour, at which time she had vowed to John Cole that it would finally be time to stop waiting for either William Godfrey or Dan McCarthy to return to public view, and instead to start taking the initiative in a bid to turn around a wave of public opinion that was doing no one any good, the ever-defiant Prime Minister grinned from ear to ear and pulled his phone from his pocket.
"Both of our names attached?" he asked.
Fighting through a moment of hesitation and doing so largely with a feeling of being already committed to this course of action, having made certain public comments earlier in the day, Slater nodded. In the last 30 minutes, the latest movements within the social media meta-analysis app, monitored endlessly by her aides, had not been pretty, to the extent that Slater was surprised to find herself feeling glad to at least have someone who still valued her position and power, even if it was John Cole, and even though he doubtless had the same designs to kick her to the curb as soon as he could once he had wrung all usefulness out of her support. She was making no plans to run off into the sunset with him either, and if this temporary cooperation could ever be described as a political marriage, it was certainly one of convenience and nothing more. Slater had glanced several times at the SMMA scores, hoping that something might have changed each time she did, and that she wouldn't thus have to resort to aligning so clearly with Cole, but the trend was unmistakable. As one aide put it in particularly strong terms, sealing the deal in her mind, if action wasn't taken to reverse the trend as a matter of urgency, then it would almost certainly and very quickly become irreversible. In a fair world, Slater thought, Godfrey's absence and failure to outrank the aliens who had taken him from Buenos Aires would reflect poorly on him and leave the door open for her to step up to the top table. Politics had long taught her that the world was anything but fair, however, and as it went, Godfrey's SMMA metrics, in fact, showed that citizens were concerned for his well-being in greater numbers than they were dismayed by his inability to keep the messengers, supposedly equal partners in the game of cooperation, under control, not just on his own planet, but in his own building. All night and all through the morning, citizens and media outlets alike had been calling for comments from Slater and deriding what little she did say as woefully inadequate. The problem was knowing what to say beyond a general call for calm and responsible reporting, both of which fell on deaf ears, as such pleas always did, and in reality, Slater knew there was nothing anyone could say at this point to turn things around. Slater was now being lambasted from all angles, with opponents holding up her impotence as a sign that she was no longer fit for office, having presided over unprecedented declines in the recognized global importance of both her country and her office. When William Godfrey and Dan McCarthy were out of a picture that left Slater as in the dark as everyone else, words simply wouldn't suffice. Smiling his dastardly smile, John Cole held his phone's screen towards Slater and watched her face like a hawk seeking movement in its favorite hunting field. The first crack appeared in her brow, followed by a much clearer reaction in the corner of her lips. Before long, she was grinning almost as widely as Cole as she looked at the screen.
"Where did you get this?" she asked. "How did you get this?"
"There'll come a time when you and everyone else will realize you really shouldn't have been underestimating me for so long," Cole replied somewhat cryptically. "I've had this for a little while, but it wasn't for your eyes until you committed to putting your name to the plan. All of this is going out at once, stage managed for maximum effect. And even if Godfrey and the idiots in Birchwood show back up in the next hour, it'll be too late. As soon as I pour this blood into the water by hitting send, the sharks are going to eat them alive. Well, one shark. Sometimes a single great white is all you need."
"Who are we sending this to?" Slater asked. "Who's the great white?"
Cole's wide grin faded, replaced by a brief glint of uncertainty as to whether he'd really heard Slater say "we" like that, in such an effortless and genuine manner, and ultimately settling into a smile that looked almost warm. It suited him better than the snake-like grin he normally wore, she thought, since that thing wouldn't suit anyone. But before long, the warmth was gone and Cole was back into business mode.
Jan Geller,
he said, tapping send and placing the phone back in his pocket with a decisive nod of victory.
Who else?